Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Well, Brad, it's been almost a whole week since Galaxy's Edge and Disneyland opened, and I feel like we've got a better idea of how Galaxy's Edge will run now. There's been some very interesting stuff.
During the preview, just real quick, during the preview period. We know how it's going to run during the preview period.
Well, yeah. I mean, are you talking about the reservation period, I guess?
Yeah, sorry. I just mean that the way that it's running right now is probably not the way it runs once people are just allowed to come in all willy-nilly. But yes, we do now see how things run when you limit the number of people that can get into it at any given time.
Right. Well, and they've already made changes to, you know, some things. One thing that's interesting to me is how short the wait for Smuggler's Run has been. I was expecting that to, you know, everybody to immediately run into that land and get in line for Smuggler's Run, and that just hasn't been the case. When Galaxy's Edge first opened, I was looking at the wait times online, and Smuggler's Run was at 60 minutes, you know, pretty steadily, and you and I talked about it, and we kind of landed on, well, they must have that hard, you know, hard-coded in, just that 60 minutes. But as I watched, you know, the wait times at Disneyland over the week, I mean, it was sometimes at 25 minutes, it was sometimes at 30 minutes, like, Smuggler's Run, at least during this, you know, reservation period, seems like about the least popular thing in Galaxy's Edge, which is crazy to me.
So in our notes, the entirety of the notes that you put in says Galaxy's Edge, very low wait times for Smuggler's Run and very high wait times for Savi and Oga.
So Savi's
what's a Savi and an Oga?
Savi's is the lightsaber experience, and Oga's Cantina is the little restaurant. So they, on day one, had lines that extended outside of Galaxy's Edge. And I think on day two, they also did. And the lines, like, hit each other, and they were getting mixed up. And eventually what they did for Savi's and Oga's Cantina is they went to a text return system where you go in the morning, you know, right away, say, I want to be here, and then they text you when it's time to come back. The issue with that is those systems were full within like 20 minutes of the 4-hour, you know, time period starting. So there was just a lot of infrastructure problems that they were running into. But those Savi's, the lightsaber experience and Oga's Cantina were definitely the most popular things there. I understand the lightsaber one because, you know, it's a special thing, and it's a full experience. But the Oga's Cantina, I mean, I get that it's cool in there. Like, there's a pod racer engine that cooks the food, and there's tons of different cool meals, and it's a really cool building. But man, like, I don't know. I didn't expect a restaurant to be more popular than the, you know, the attraction in that land.
Yeah, that's so the lightsaber thing I find not surprising, not only because it's a special thing, but also because the throughput of that is so low.
Yeah.
So even if it has a super long wait, that doesn't inherently mean there's like a lot of people that want to do it. That just means there's a reasonable number of people who want to do it.
Yeah. Oh, and one thing about that I didn't know last time we recorded, that $200 for that lightsaber, you pay that up front, and then you go and do the experience. There is no getting through the experience saying, I don't like how this is, and not wanting to buy it. Like, you pay the $200 to get in the door.
Congratulations, Disney. You guys are smart, because I totally would have done it and been like, nah, I don't need that lightsaber. That part doesn't surprise me. I will agree, even with the recognition that a restaurant doesn't have the same throughput that that an attraction has, it is still surprising that the lines are longer for that than the attraction, mostly because I don't know if I would wait that long to eat at a restaurant. I guess at the same time, though, if I had done everything else in Star Wars Land, but you're saying that people are, there's basically a 20-minute window from when you get in to go make your reservation, or you're not getting in at all, right?
Yeah, yeah, because you have to go put your name on the list, and then you get called back sometime in that four-hour window.
Yeah, when it was a line that I would have to wait in, I don't know that I would have done that, because I would not be able to experience the rest of the... If we're talking about a two-hour wait, that's half of my time to experience this land that sunk into the restaurant. That I wouldn't probably be down with, but if I can make a if I can make a text reservation and then go do something else and simply return, I would be okay with that. And I would be okay with having to rush over there to get one of the, 20 minutes worth of reservations that were available, because in a lot of ways that's no different to me anyway than if you want to have a reservation at, I don't know, Cinderella's Royal Table. Essentially, you have to make that the full 180 days out, and you have to make it first thing in that morning, and you're going to have about 20 to 30 minutes, and then all those reservations are gone for that day.
Right.
So that aspect that seems more like something I would do, but yeah, I don't think I would have ever waited that long. I'm trying to hedge my bets here, because crazy Brad would do crazy things, but I like to think even he wouldn't have waited 2 hours to get some pod racer meat or something like that. Though at the same time, if you told me that I was going to be waiting 2 hours for what, 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes of attraction, I haven't actually watched I've seen chunks of people doing the Smuggler's Run, but I'm not going to sit and watch an entire video, because I really don't want to experience it that way initially. But there, that's definitely a pretty short thing. And if you would have told me the wait times for that were 2 hours, I'd be like, oh, okay, that's just what it is. I guess either they're not letting a lot of people in, or they just created a really efficient people eater.
I think they underbooked. I think, well, because there were even hotel rooms still available, like now. You can still get hotel rooms that will include a booking for Galaxy's Edge. So I just think they underbooked.
Yeah, that's possible. That's possible. So I think the good part of all of this, seeing what the wait times are for Smuggler's Run, seeing what the wait times are for Savi and OG and Ice-T... is that all of this information will inform how things are done when Galaxy's Edge opens in Disney's Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, I hope so.
So hopefully we can see not the same problems happening again. Instead, we'll get a whole new set of problems, but at least not the same problems again. But I'm glad Disney... I am also glad to hear that Disney is... pivoting quickly where needed.
Yeah. And I did see one last thing. I did see last week a tweet, and I did not save it and I can't find it now, but someone tweeted that they rode Smuggler's Run by themselves. Like, it was basically a walk-on, and they were the only person on there. And if that's true, that someone was able to at all ride that attraction by themselves, that's even crazier. Like, that's just wild.
It is, but if the wait times are that low on the attraction, if wait times are under an hour for Smuggler's Run,
which they pretty much stayed at the entire week,
4 hours becomes a long time in a single land, I think, when there's only a single attraction to do. So I'm not as surprised. I do agree that it's still wild that they can do that. But logistically, I definitely see how that could work out. If 30 minutes after, because I assume going into that land, my goals are make a beeline for the restaurant, because I can't remember which of those two words is the restaurant word.
Oga's Cantina.
There we go. Make a beeline for Oga's, get that reservation booked in, then head over to Smuggler's Run, wait in line for 20 to 30 minutes, do Smuggler's Run, get out, look at some stuff, hopefully get called in for my reservation at Oga's, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours in at most, eat my meal, and then I don't know that I would actually stick around for that final hour. Because I think I would have seen everything in that land in the between time, you know, or if I get straight in after Smuggler's Run to go eat food, then I'm going to leave and spend an hour and a half looking at everything else. And then I think maybe I'm going to be done in that one land. So, yeah, the use of a 4 hour time limit makes me agree that they felt like the wait times were going to be longer at Smuggler's Run. So, yeah, maybe don't. If Disney does something similar at Walt Disney World, don't assume that Smuggler's Run is going to have those same short lines because, again, they will learn. They will learn that Oga's needs some sort of callback system that doesn't involve them having to have a super long line because that upsets people and keeps them from experiencing the land. And they'll also learn we could probably fit some more people in this place and still be okay.
So speaking of things that are coming to Disney's Hollywood Studios on August 29th, which is conveniently the day before Galaxy's Edge opens at Walt Disney World, there are some changes coming to FastPass Plus tiers at Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, they're making it bad.
So Brad, tell me about what the changes are.
Essentially, the changes are everything that's an attraction is a tier one. Everything that's a show is a tier two, aka they're making it bad because right now it is similar to that, right? Essentially, what they are doing is they are moving Rock and Roller Coaster moves up. Is Tower right now tier one?
I don't think it is.
Okay, so then Tower and Rock and Roller Coaster are the two things that are jumping from tier two to tier one. But what that leaves at that point in tier two is Star Tours, the thing that you would need to get a fast pass for. And then a bunch of stuff that you shouldn't need to get a fast pass for. Voyage of the Little Mermaid, Disney Junior Dance Party, Frozen Sing Along, Stunt Spectacular, Muppet Vision 3D, Beauty and the Beast, and Fantasmic. Maybe you need to get a fast. Do you think that you need a fast pass for Fantasmic?
No. And Star Tours will leave that tier. I doubt they're going to leave Star Tours in tier two.
So the other thing that's weird to me about this change is they are going to make this change on August 29th. Right. And then September 1st, Star Wars Land opens. Everything changes. And Smuggler's Run will not have FastPass available.
Right.
So it's not like Smuggler's Run is suddenly going to jump into tier one. I guess because the crowds are going to be so wild that they want to make sure that those crowds aren't able to do wait for Smuggler's Run and then FastPass Rock and Roller, Tower of Terror, and Slinky Dog Dash.
Do you get to, and I forgive me, I don't remember exactly, do you get two tier ones and one tier two, or one tier one and two tier twos?
One tier one, two tier twos.
Okay. So yeah, that's what they're doing. They're trying to essentially make Smuggler's Run one of your fast passes. Yeah. One of your attraction fast passes, I guess.
Yeah. It's weird to me because then your other fast passes become wasted fast passes, I kind of feel like.
Yeah, I mean, fast passing Fantasmic, I don't know what you get if you fast pass Fantasmic. I guess you get preferred seating.
You get your fast passes locked in for the rest of the day and you're not able to make any more single fast passes. Right? Because until you've gone through your initial three, you can't make your single fast pass.
No, I know that. I'm trying to I'm just thinking about it as like, what do you get? What would the plus be of fast passing Fantasmic? And I think the only thing is you get preferred seating. But again, this is not a thing to try to help. This is a thing to try to help Disney. This isn't a thing to try to help you. I mean, this is a thing to try to help Disney. So, yeah. I mean, you're basically you're getting one real fast pass and then two unnecessary ones.
And I have to run through the two unnecessary ones before I can make another tier one, correct?
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, it's not great.
How am I going to do this? I guess I'm going to have to book my tier one.
And then you just like book the earliest Disney on ice or whatever.
Yeah, whatever else I can. And as soon as I hit my tier one, and I'm going to be honest and think that probably what I'm going to do is go and just burn those fast passes, because I may not go watch the Frozen sing along, but I will go redeem my fast pass before I walk away. So I guess for everybody who would do something like that, there are so many other people that would go, well, I have a fast pass to the Stunt Spectacular. I have a fast pass to the Frozen sing along. So I need to go and watch it because I'm getting something. I'm getting in there when other people can't get in there or whatever. And thus it could cut down on the number of people who are using tier one fast passes and trying to book additional fast passes and things like that. So I guess, again, like you said, this is not to your benefit. This is to Disney's benefit. And that's the way that they're going to do it. I don't know. This just seems awkward to me, because before I understood tier one are the e-ticket attractions, and are e-ticket not simply in not simply in the type of attraction, but also in the popularity of said attraction.
See, I don't know. I never thought about it that way. Because
otherwise, why would you split them up, right?
Well, but there's always something good in tier two. You know, there's always something that you want to actually ride in tier two. I feel like if it was solely that tier one was the quote good stuff, then every park would be like this. Every Fastpass Plus tier system would be like this, where all the attractions are on tier one and all the shows are on tier two. That would suck. But I feel like there's always something like good on tier two. You know, you can get Star Tours and you can get Rock and Roller Coaster, but you can't get Star Tours, Rock and Roller Coaster, and Tower of Terror. Or you can get Star Tours and Tower of Terror, but not also Rock and Roller. You know what I mean? Like, there's always something else you can get that's good.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Before, you could get Slinky Dog Dash or Toy Story Midway Mania and Rock and Roller Coaster and Tower of Terror. So you could get three really good attractions. Or, you know, replace either Tower or Rock and Roller with Star Tours and still get three really good attractions for that.
Now you can get one.
And honestly, Epcot kind of has the same problem. I don't remember off the top of my head what those tiers are, but I do remember feeling like my last tier two fast pass was often kind of just whatever I could get to burn that one, aka Living with the Land or something, which and please note that I'm not saying those shows are all garbage or Star Tours is garbage or whatever, because I really enjoy Star Tours. I really enjoy Living with the Land, but those are things that I don't really need a fast pass to do 90% of the time.
Yeah.
And so I want to free up my fast passes for the things that I will definitely need a fast pass in order to do. And that it feels like that got a little bit harder. And yeah, when I say the good stuff, I don't mean like everything. And by, I guess at e-ticket, what I'm thinking are the super top tier, recognizing that there are plenty of in that description of e-ticket, recognizing there are plenty of D ticket attractions that are still e-ticket in quality of the attraction. They simply don't have the same wait times and everything that the super high and thus tier one attractions do. But again, I think a lot of this is Disney saying Hollywood Studios is going to get so wild once we add in this other land and everyone is coming to go to Star Wars Land that all of these attractions are suddenly going to have 3 and 4 hour wait times. So we've got to divvy it up to not make them 5 hour wait times because there are so many people with fast passes on these three attractions.
Yeah, I think you're right on. I don't think we're going to get the reservation system at Walt Disney World that Disneyland had because there's just not a whole lot else to do in Hollywood Studios. And so if you keep people from getting in there, they're like the other attractions are going to get so crowded that it's just going to be miserable. And so I don't think we're going to get the reservation system. And so, yeah, I think that their hope is that this will maybe help keep the standby lines or the fast pass lines down a little.
Get people to get into Hollywood Studios, go do their Star Wars Land, and get out.
Yeah, right. I think that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. And you can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.